Welcome to the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and today we're talking about the strategies that help you stand out, be seen, and be heard. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis. Authority is earned when people trust your thinking and your process. Today we're talking about money decisions that impact decades, your future. Joining me today is Nico Martillo, CEO of Martillo Capital. Nico, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
So before we get into some tactics, let's start with some identity. Why this work and who's this for? So who's your, when you think about you, what you do and who you serve, who is your primary audience?
That's a great question, Jeff. We actually serve families. So we serve people that are pre-retirees, business owners, people who've done a pretty decent job of saving some money, but don't have a clear plan when it comes to income strategy or retirement. So at Martillo Capital, what we do is we help eliminate what's called income gaps. So we like to reduce tax exposures and turn retirement assets into predictable, sustainable, guaranteed income, Jeff. So we don't just manage money, we build clarity.
That's awesome. So you mentioned the term income gap. Can you kind of expand upon that and let explain to our audience what an income gap truly is?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So an income gap is the difference between what you need monthly in retirement and what you can reliably generate. So it shows up when we're looking at Social Security might not be enough. Maybe the withdrawals from your retirement account are not enough. It could be we have to reduce some taxes. So at the end of the day, we're looking at what the possibility of what income will look like if someone may pass away too early, or if they live too long, if they have enough money to actually retire, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I've read somewhere that running out of money is one of the biggest fears that most elderly people have, especially as the life expectancy gets longer. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing people live a lot longer these days.
Yeah. Stay healthy, exercise, and you know we get to live longer to see our grandkids and all.
So, absolutely.
Nico, when did this become your mission or really something that you wanted to tackle to help families?
Yeah, actually, I've done this for over 15 years, and I just watched too many families make emotional decisions when it comes to changing, when they make emotional decisions based on, you know, certain circumstances, whether it's, a death in the family, whether it's, you know, the time to retire and they're not having enough money. I've seen that in my own family. They're guessing at what retirement, you know, at what age retirement should be. Some people have to end up going back to work. So I've seen this multiple times in my own family and other families. And I've seen others drain accounts too quickly and depend entirely on Social Security, which it's that alone has its uncertainty, right? So it wasn't just clients. Like I said, it's had to do a lot with my family and just the lack of financial literacy in this country, Jeff. That's one of the biggest things that's here at Martillo Capital, what we're trying to do is we're trying to focus really on just building that financial literacy. So when we realize that retirement isn't just about investments, it's about, you know, income certainty, like I said, tax position and legacy, it's important to have the knowledge, right? So that's when it became the mission.
So this truly hits a home for you from a growing up perspective, watching your parents struggle with this, and it kind of obviously has a true meaning for you at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Speaking from experience, is always makes it more mission focused for you than versus, you know, someone who hasn't gone through things. You get to experience things from a different life, a different perspective. So it's a good way to earn that authority that we talk about because you speak from it, from experiencing it yourself and seeing it go through. So
yes, sir.
When you talk about retirement planning a lot, then picking investments and, you know, you frame it as security and growth and legacy, but what's the one thing that families miss typically when you begin to work with them?
You know what? At the end of the day, the biggest thing that I see that they miss, Jeff, is being able to save enough, like trying to figure out what actually enough money, you know, what's the actual amount that they need to retire. I see a lot of people, they focus on age rather than, you know, looking at expenses, you know, their debts. At the end of the day, if they don't know, you know, where they're going, they can't really figure out. It's like trying to get to a destination without having a roadmap, right? So most families just focus on growth, but you know, the things that we typically focus on, what you touch, is security, right? We want to focus on the guaranteed income, growth, which means inflation, inflation protection, right? And then legacy, what's going to happen after they pass away? Is it, it's that, wealth, everything they work for, who's it going to go to? Is it going to go to their spouse, their children, and what that looks like as far as taxes as well.
And you talk about, you know, making ends meet, so to speak, to make sure you put away enough money for the future. You know, obviously prices are rising. Think we're in a hectic time frame. Gasoline prices are going berserk. I mean, people are struggling to make ends meet. How do we actually, or how do you address the needs or the desire to say, hey, look, you got to be able to do X for the future? How do people cope with that?
Yeah, I mean, that it's a tough conversation, especially like you said. I mean, we're seeing the price of everything go up, right? So it's really hard for everybody right now. Everything that we have in our life, just think about it, Jeff. Everything's like what I call a microwave outcome, right? So no one likes a delayed gratification. No one likes, they want the instant, they want to see things happen today and not want to have postpone it, right? So that's sure. That's why when people start saving their money, they see a balance and they have the desire to withdraw quickly, right? So it's about having discipline to save anything, even if it's just $25, to have something that they can put away that they can plan for their future. So having that understanding of the difference between wants and needs, that's a big one, right? Not everybody understands the difference between a want and a need. So those are things that when we sit down, we talk about that. What's the difference between an actual want and what's the difference between an actual need? And then every dollar has an allocation. So once we have that, those things set apart, I think it makes it a lot easier for the client to understand how to put away money.
So you kind of go through their household expenses in order to figure out how they can actually put some money away or where they can save some money at this point when spending unnecessarily or things they may not even be aware of these days, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the first time we meet with a financial person like yourself, you know, it's one of those things that most people, upon expression, we have our guard up. How much do we trust this person? How much are we going to actually tell this person? What do you do to gain that trust, gain that authority to kind of break down that barrier? Do you have anything special that you dive into?
Yeah, Jeff, I like to use the analogy of just the doctor patient, right? So I like to sit and listen. So I try to simplify everything. I don't necessarily talk about products. I don't talk about anything that's going to overwhelm the individual. I just want to listen. Everybody has a pain point, you know? So everybody's struggling with something. Not everybody's made the same. You know, the difference between us and most other companies out there is, I like to say, we're not a cookie cutter process. We like to tailor everything to the individual. So just like as if you were to go to the doctor, you explain to the doctor, you know, what your certain situation is, they'll run some tests and then figure out what's the root of the issue, right? So the same thing with us. We want to understand exactly what's going on and then make sure we identify what products and solutions we may have for the individual. So if they, again, if they want to retire early, they, you know, what does that look like for them? If they pass away too soon, what does that look like for them? So it's just really simplifying everything. And that typically just builds a trust. We're not trying to force anybody into anything. We just want to be able to help them solve some give them some solutions to whatever the issues they're currently having.
So some of our listeners might be thinking, well, I'm too young to begin to think about planning. Or oppositely is, you know, I'm already in my 60s, you know, or 70s, and I'm too old to begin planning. How would you respond to both those?
Well, being too young is there's never too early to start. You know, I always share with especially parents, you know, if they have young children to put something away. You know, I use the $25. It's a price of a McDonald's cheeseburger. I like to use In-N-Out actually. It's an In-N-Out burger, you know. So it's something like that. That if they just build the discipline, it just goes all back to discipline, right? At a young age, the earlier you start, the better. You can start at a young age, and then we have something called compounding interest, right? So when you're putting money away, it's going to eventually compound. And someone who is a lot older, it's better to have something than absolutely nothing, right? So I don't ever think that it's too early. There are possibilities. Yes, you can be a little behind the wheel, but we have plans in place where, you know, we can at least try to adjust, whether it's using Social Security or using whatever savings they have, and to help either decrease expenses and debts. So we have solutions for those situations, no matter what age the individual is.
So is there an age when you're too old that you get to the point of, you know, even $25 or $50 a month isn't really going to have much impact, but at the end of the day, it's still something that they still should do something?
Yeah, I mean, again, we would look at expenses and reducing debts, things like that. We would lean on either they have children, we would lean on, you know, maybe something that they can assist with. You know, a lot of times whatever the parents have is going to be inherited with, it's going to be something that's going to be a financial responsibility for the children, no matter what, right? Whether it's something positive or negative. So if they pass away, they don't have a life insurance plan, it's going to be left on their beneficiaries. And same thing if they did very well for themselves, all those assets, they have to be transferred over. So those are the conversations we have to make sure that no matter what situation the individual is in, we want to make sure that we also have the conversation with the beneficiaries, whether it's a spouse or whether it's the children. So if that makes sense, Jeff.
Yeah, everyone needs to be informed on this. It's I think I'm sure you find at times that people don't like to talk about things like this in the family, husband, wife, and as well as with the beneficiaries. Is that something you see fairly often?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially, you know, the children, they don't like to hear that there's a possibility of their parents going to be passing away, right? So it's a topic that is typically avoided. And that's why we run into the situations that we run in. Either the spouse doesn't have an understanding of what their significant other has accumulated, or what retirement accounts they have, or, you know, what the bills look like, or, you know, if they pass away too soon, what does that look like financially as well? Those are the conversations that are typically avoided. But Jeff, if it was a party, you know, that everybody is having that conversation, right? If someone's turning a milestone age, but for whatever reason, when it does come to retirement and talking about death, it's something that is typically avoided. So the quicker that we have those conversations, the quicker we can avoid those pitfalls that typically people have.
Yeah, I think there's an old saying, plan to fail, fail to plan. So you just have to plan that at some point in time. So awesome, Nico. We're going to take a short break. And coming up next, we're going to talk about in your system, how we turn complexity into a plan that people can follow. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper. This is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Watch anytime on the Now Media Television app, available on Roku, iOS, and Android, or stream at nowmedia.tv. Welcome back, Nico. I want your process step by step. So let's dive deep into how, because confidence comes from the structure of how you do things, correct?
Absolutely. So we call it the planning flow. So the first thing is when we sit down with an individual, we do what's called the discovery. So like I stated earlier, we just listen, right? We want to discover exactly what's going on with the individual. We call it the financial intake. Then after we have all that information, we understand where they're currently at, what they're planning on going, what assets the individual has, what expenses, the debt, the Social Security. Then we go into planning stage where we start designing something for them to fill those income gaps. Once we do put the design in place, we do what's called a stress test. And that stress test is going to simply just say, hey, worst case scenario, best case scenario. And then after having the stress test completed and we have a better understanding, if for whatever reason that worst case scenario does not work out with the client, then we will go back to the planning board. But typically on the first go around, we have those that layout that works out pretty well. And then the thing that most people don't like to talk about is taxes. So we also have the conversation of what Uncle Sam likes to take from people, right? So what we owe to him.
They take something from us even when we pass away?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have those conversations. So what does taxes look like? Not only when the individual's working, but what retirement looks like. Most people are not aware that they cannot just leave their money in a retirement account. We have something called RMDs, which is required minimum distributions. So Uncle Sam says, you have to pay me those taxes. And then after we have that whole plan put in place, then it's time to make a decision. The decision is typically where and how are we going to fill those income gaps. So typically someone that's over the age of 55, most of our recommendation are with annuities, fixed index annuities, or lifetime income annuities. So Jeff, that's simplifying it of how we from start to finish. And then one thing that we don't recommend until we understand everything one thing that we do recommend is when we have everything in place is to be able to map out their income, right? So we want to look at mapping out the income. We're going to analyze tax exposure, like I said, stress test for volatility, and then review estate alignment. So most people don't have trusts and wills in place. So those are the other things that on the back end that we look at as well.
Yeah, you brought up a really valid point there. A lot of people don't believe in trusts or wills, and they don't really understand the ramifications. Is that something you kind of also explain to folks of why it's almost mandatory that they actually have to have a trust in the will, especially a will?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because having a trust in place and just something as simple as a revocable trust, what that does is it allows for the beneficiaries to avoid probate. Okay, so having a will, typically a will is not acknowledged by the state. It's just a farewell letter. So we typically will recommend a revocable trust, which having that
what
legal
does that
document.
Mean, a revocable trust for our listeners to truly grasp.
Yeah, absolutely. So a revocable trust is something that they can constantly make changes to. Yeah, where an irrevocable trust is something that once it's set in place, it's typically something that does not get changed. And again, I'm just trying to simplify it for the viewers.
Sure.
On a revocable trust, what ends up happening is we will go over their assets. Currently, you know, who would be who would be responsible for the financials if something were to happen? Who would be responsible for their decision when it comes to their health? You know, things like that. You know, most people don't think about, you know, I have a bank account, right? So if something happens to the individual, who's going to have access to that bank account? Without having to go to the, waiting for probate, you're going to court. Typically, probates can go up to 2 years of a waiting process. So, yeah, so having these a revocable trust in place actually assigns individuals to be responsible for these assets and these decisions.
Can I do that same thing in a will and avoid having a trust, or do I really need both?
Well, yeah, actually, so a revocable trust is basically a will just on steroids. It has more details. It's typically a legal document that is drawn out by an attorney versus a will. It's what I call the farewell letter, just kind of explaining certain things that you like. For example, jewelry that I want to have, my kids to have, but if they all decide to fight over it, you know, a will just, they can try to go to court for it, but at least with a revocable trust, it actually has some legal documents, a legal authority behind it, because there's typically a notary that will sign as a witness to everything that we're putting in place.
I've heard nowadays, in addition to the farewell letter, because of technology, we now are seeing more and more farewell videos being recorded. Have you seen that as well?
Yeah, absolutely have. That's actually another great idea that most individuals should start doing, because it allows to have that actual live interaction with, you know, their loved one. So, that is something that we don't practice in-house yet, but I would definitely look more further into doing that as well with Martillo Capital.
Gotcha. Nico, I know you specialize in fixed index annuities. Can you explain a little bit of what they are designed to solve, and actually what are they in simplified terms?
Yeah, absolutely. A fixed index annuity solves one core problem, is how do you grow money without market loss while creating optional guaranteed income later? So it protects principal during downturns and can provide structured income in retirement. So it's not for everyone, right? But to make it even more simple for the viewers, Jeff, it allows an individual to participate with market growth without having any exposure to the risk of the market. So their ground floor, it's always zero. So these are designed for someone who either wants to continue to defer taxes and then have a guaranteed income later on in life, or they can decide to have it immediately. So these products, the fixed index or annuity, are designed specifically for income.
So
guarantee it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So let me kind of go back, because I heard something that's might be a little shocking to a lot of people. So if the market crashes 5,000 points, I'm not going to lose any money.
Not a single penny. Yep. They have principal protection.
That's awesome. I don't think a lot of people have heard of this product, from what, you know, I can imagine, because people are always very scared of the market fluctuations. Yeah, they're happy when they, you know, shoots up, but they're definitely depressed because they lost a lot of money. I guess you've seen stories of that, I imagine, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the things that even my clients still today, they're kind of forget, because they'll give me a call and say, hey, I heard, stock market crash. I heard there's a war going on. And they'll ask me, how is that affecting my money? And I said, well, right now it's not affecting anything, because you don't participate in any of those market losses. So once the way that these products work is they work on what's called a point to point. So that means that the month and year that an individual opens their account, which is annuity, let's just use that as an example. A year from now, we're going to look at what the credit has been during that year, as far as the interest rate has been, the average of that interest rate, that has been the growth, or it can be negative, it can be a growth, whatever the case may be. So we'll look at it in that year, and then we'll give the average. So whatever the average rate of return is from that year, so the anniversary date of the individual, then that percentage will be applied to the account. So let's say, for an example, Jeff, that the whole year that their money was in these index accounts with an annuity, were not making any growth, and when they actually had a negative return, because they're in an annuity and their ground floor is always zero, they will never see their balance go below their principal value. So if someone opened it with $100,000, for whatever reason, there was a negative return that year, their amount will stay $100,000. But let's say the opposite happened, or they actually received, the average is a 10%, 20% rate of return, then the individual will actually receive that to their account. So like I said, they're able to participate in market growth without any risk to the downside of the market.
That's awesome. Are there minimums or maximums people need to contribute to an annuity to be involved?
So that's a great question, Jeff. So all these annuities are different types of vehicles, right? So it just really depends on the individual and what we're trying to accomplish. So we have some annuities where there are a minimum of $10,000 investment, and then we have others that have up to $250,000 as a minimum. So yeah, again, it's just all based on what the individual is trying to do.
So earlier in our conversation, we were talking about putting away $25, $50, whatever, a weekly or a month. So if I actually had an annuity, may I contribute to that on an ongoing basis as well to continue to grow it?
Yeah, there are annuities out there that are what we call flexible annuities. So there's you can put in on a monthly basis. And then once you reach a certain age, if you want to annuitize that annuity, which basically just means you want to turn on for income, you're able to do so. So again, it's all going to be tailored to the individual's wants and needs.
Okay. So we talked about Social Security a little bit before, and that's obviously the cornerstone for most retirees, because that's money we count on, or they count on a monthly basis. There are typically, I know there's planning in Social Security too. You can start at different ages. What are the two biggest mistakes that you see that most people take or make when it comes to taking Social Security?
So it's either taking the benefit too early or waiting too long. So because of those,
go ahead.
I was going to say, because of those two issues, is most individuals don't really understand how to maximize their Social Security, because they don't really understand how the benefits work. And understanding, again, so we really focus on income gaps. So I'm going to give a little example of a client that we had a couple of weeks ago. She wanted to retire at 62, and her benefit was $1,200 a month. But if she waited two more years, it would be $1,500 a month. So if for that reason, when we were looking at what the income that she actually needed, there was a $150 income gap, right? So all that means is that her expenses and her debts and everything that she had in place, the money that she actually needed coming in her household was X amount, and she was going to be short about $150 if she waited till age 62. So if she waited till age 65, then she would have enough income coming in. So being able to understand those little things helps an individual feel more comfortable when it comes to, all right, I know now that I can retire at this specific age because I'm going to have enough income to retire. Most people, what they'll do, they'll either retire too early and then realize they have to go back to work because it's not enough. And then we have those that, because they didn't understand that they did have enough income, they waited too long to retire, right? So there's a couple of things like that we see more often than none.
Awesome. All right, Nico, we're going to take a short break again here. When we come back, what happens when real life shows up, markets shift, and people begin to hesitate? I'm Jeff Brandeis, the Authority Playbook. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper. We're back on the Authority Playbook with Nico Martillo. Now let's move from planning to pressure. After all, as we spoke about a little bit before, Nico, planning holds up in good times, but sometimes things don't go as well as planned, and real family conversations happen. Give us a scenario where someone was close to retirement, they were nervous about the market swings. What was the first thing you had to work on from an income floor or tax strategy, or talk to them about protecting their money, their assets?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. So, retirement is a nervous conversation when someone doesn't plan, right? So, the best analogy I can use, again, just kind of going back to trying to get to a destination without having a roadmap, right? So we need to understand what is the income floor, like you stated, right? So what is the bare minimum that someone needs coming in to be able to cover their expenses, to be able to cover any debts they may have? Before we talk about growth, before we talk about strategy, before we talk about anything, we need to secure the essential expenses. If we lock in a guaranteed income to cover the core living costs, the rest of the portfolio can breathe, right? So one of the things that we like the framework is like we like to give the clients three buckets. It's guaranteed, growth, and to be able to have flexibility, because every dollar must do its job. When we have money, not only do we work for money, but after that, when it's coming to retirement, we have to have our money work for us, right? So that way the decision becomes very clear.
So your website talks about you've recovered $15 million in unclaimed funds, Nico. I know you have a great story that you're going to share with our listeners of how you found some money from a lady that you've never met before. So just share the story, and I think it will go really well into how people tend to overlook things at times.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. So we have a lot of those stories, but one of my favorites is Sydney. And the situation with her, she was actually originally a lead that had came in, and she was for life insurance. So we called her, and when she answered the phone, she was like most people, didn't know who I was. So it was kind of just wanted to get me off the phone right away. But, I got my way to be able to get to have her listen, right? So I just shared with her some pain points, let her know like, hey, my job's very simple. I'm just going to have a conversation regarding, how life insurance works. If you like it, great. If you don't, not a big deal. But I like to sit with people. So I asked her if it was okay if I come to her house. She said, hey, look, I don't have any money, so there's no point. So funny thing is, I hear that story all the time that people have no money, which is common, right? But I don't take that as a no. I just take that as there's a possibility that they don't have an understanding of what they may have, right? Because I can't tell you how many times we sit with people and they have money somewhere. They just don't know how to access it. So when I did arrive to her house, Jeff, she had a beautiful ranch out in California. And so in my head, I'm thinking, this lady, there's no way she lied to me over the phone. So I was pretty upset, right? So when I rang the doorbell and I ended up sitting with her, she shared with me a really sad story that her husband had passed away. He had left everything paid for. So her house was paid for. She had a small Social Security income coming in. And that was it, right? So that was what she was living off of. And I just started asking the questions. I asked her about her husband. What did he do for a living? What was it that, how did he provide such a beautiful home? And she shared that he worked for some pretty big name companies. And I was like, there's no way that he didn't leave you with with some type of retirement account. And she's like, I have no idea. He took care of all the assets, the bills, everything. So I have no idea. So I said, okay, well, if you have any mail, just bring it to me. She started bringing me some letters, and there were, again, some big name company names on these letters. And when I started opening these letters, Jeff, we found out that she had 300, 100,000. 14,000. Oh. So it just, there was money that was sitting that belonged to her that she had no idea. So we ended up taking that money and putting it into a lifetime income annuity. And now she is set. Now she has enough money to be able to afford her lifestyle, to be able to travel, to be able to do all the things that she wants to do. So yeah, it was really a bittersweet moment for sure.
So the moral of that story is open your mail, huh? Yeah. Not all junk mail, right?
You're right. Exactly. But those are just some examples, Jeff. There's a lot of unclaimed state property as well that each state has. So we've revealed a lot of times where people leave old jobs too, and they'll leave money behind and they have no idea how to access it. And typically if it's left over 2 to 3 years, it goes to the state. And what we do is we put the paperwork in place to be able to help those clients access that money as well. So we call that's that the awesome. Lost 401ks.
The lost 401ks. Yeah, definitely out there for sure. But yeah, I think it's great that you take that extra measure that, you know, you're totally thorough. You were persistent with her to at least get the appointment and then sit there with her and learn more about her. I think, you know, from a listener's perspective or people who are in the field, having that patience and going through understanding, digging deeper into someone's personal life, as long as they open up with you and then you build that trust, that authority, that's what you've done. And that's awesome to hear. So that's a valuable lesson, I think, for all listeners to take away from as well.
I appreciate that.
The other thing, sure. The other thing I think about when we talk about this is a complicated method, a procedure, it's a process, you know, to convince people to do things. And a lot of times that I'll get to it, Nico, let me think about it for a little while. You know, that procrastination of happens, and we all do it for different things. What's the simplest format or thing that you can actually talk to people about to get them into that motion of at least do this at this point, do something?
Yeah. It's, you know, I like to use the saying numbers don't lie, right? So at the end of the day, I'm just showing them what's truth, what's reality. So, if, for example, you decide to continue to drive around, you know, without any insurance or without a seatbelt and you get in an accident, there's a possibility you're going to get hurt, right? So when it comes to, you know, navigating through retirement, and not having an understanding of, you know, the amount of income someone needs to have income stability, not understanding their expenses, not understanding their taxes and what that can actually look like when it, you know, if they pass away yesterday, what does that look like today for their family? When it comes to the time of retirement, are they going to have enough to be able to live comfortably, to enjoy their grandkids, to be able to enjoy their children, whatever the case may be? So I'm touching on reality, Jeff. So when we end up doing that and actually explain to them just simple truth, it shifts something in them, right? It makes them have a better understanding, because we are not trying to convince anybody, right? That's not our job. Our job is to share just the truth of what reality will look like if they don't put these plans in place. And once we do show them the reality of things, that's when we see, okay, well, what's the bare minimum they can do? And I even show them that, because I don't like to overpromise anything, right? I like to make things very transparent and show them the worst case scenarios. If we were to do the bare minimum, this is what the worst case scenario will look like. If that makes sense, Jeff.
It does. You know, the other aspect of things is, you know, we don't know when our expiration date is, so to speak. So you really need to begin to plan, no offense, or don't want to get anyone upset, but we don't know when we're going to pass. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So if you put things off another day or another week or another 3 weeks, it might be too late, not to sound morbid, but that's reality, really, at the end of the day, that, you know, I know you want to take care of your family. Mm-hmm. I want to take care of mine. And I'm sure it's no different than when you speak to your clients as well.
Absolutely, Jeff. I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. I had a best friend that actually passed away at the age of 25, Jeff. Wow. And he left behind a child. And he did one thing that I'm so happy he did. He sat with me and I didn't convince him. All I did was to share with him the value of having at least a life insurance plan in place. And because he did that, he was able to leave his kids with a significant amount of money. So again, we don't know. Like you said, the age is not necessarily a factor.
No, it's not. We all know people in our lives that passed way sooner than they should have. People that don't drink, they don't do drugs, they work out, they do everything what they're supposed to do, live a happy lifestyle. But, you know, sometimes, you know, things just happen and we don't know. So
absolutely.
All right. We'll get off that topic here and kind of move into a little different one. So your firm covers retirement insurance, tax planning, estate planning. There's lots of pieces to this puzzle. Sometimes they might conflict. How do you prioritize them?
prioritize in the sense of
which one's more important, which one do you have to kind of make sure is number one priority to make sure that's handled first? Is there one?
Well, at the end of the day, Jeff, the main thing that I like to identify for each individual is that income gap. It's a simple question, you know, like I said, and not to go back to the death, but if they pass away yesterday, you know, what does that look like today for the family? And if they were, today was the day they were going to retire, did they feel like they have enough money to retire? Because everybody, again, focuses on age. So once we're able to identify, just having to be able to answer those two questions, then our primary focus is, you know, just making sure that we understand what an income gap looks like. And if we have those plans in place, which is typically, I like to make sure that an individual has an insurance plan in place. So at least if something happens to them, worst case scenario, where they're not around anymore, at least they're leaving enough for their beneficiaries to cover any financial burdens, right? Because we can always plan. We can always get another job. We can always do things to generate more income, right? So the first thing is just insuring somebody. And the next step is just making sure that they're putting the right amount of money in the right places. So hopefully that answered your question, Jeff.
Sure. Well, before we take our next break, I have one question for you. Nico, we focus a lot on families and people who are working, but we have a lot of listeners who are entrepreneurs, business owners, and they have variable incomes and higher tax exposure typically. What's the retirement blind spot you see in entrepreneurs?
Yeah, typically the blind spot that I see is they count on their own business to be the retirement, not realizing that when they do go and sell their business, there's no additional revenue that's coming in, right? So they're not putting any money away for themselves in an actual retirement plan, which actually has tax benefits as well. So I see that that's a common factor that I see amongst entrepreneurs and business owners, is there's no tax diversification and no protection on an income base.
Interesting. All right, thanks. We're going to take a break here, Nico. Up next is the future. What's changing in retirement planning and what people should do now? We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper. This is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Watch anytime on Now Media Television app, available on Roku, iOS, and Android, or stream at nowmedia.tv. Let's close with a forward view, Nico. What's coming and how do we prepare? The trends don't really matter unless they change behavior. So let's kind of think about what our next moves are. Over the next 5 to 10 years, what shifts most in retirement planning? Taxes, longevity, healthcare, or even the market going up and down?
Yeah, all of the above, to be honest with you, Jeff. But you know, one thing that I constantly see that is changing that we really don't have too much control over is taxes, right? So every year we have to recalculate what that looks like for an individual, all right? So what are they going to be paying in taxes? So typically when we're paying more in taxes, that means we have to figure out how to reallocate funds so they can have more income, right? And the cost of living, the other thing that we don't have any control over. Like we shared earlier, the cost of gas, milk, rent, everything is going up. So it for us, it makes it a little more difficult to fight an uphill battle against these two things, right? But if we prepare, which preparing just, again, is just making sure that we're allocating money to the right type of investment vehicles, then we're able to fight against, you know, again, taxes and the cost of living, and to ensure that the client can actually have a very healthy and fruitful retirement.
You know, Nico, we can't go into and not have an episode or a conversation these days without talking about AI. I mean, obviously, it's all over the place. It's all, you pick up the newspaper, you listen to the news, you go on your computer. It's all over. So people are now getting advice from ChatGPT or Claude or some other AI programs and not necessarily going to a professional like yourself. What's the biggest mistake they're making by doing that?
Well, one of the biggest mistakes is that I'm seeing, Jeff, is that they don't know what questions to ask, right? So the way that these AIs are designed, they're just designed to to respond to the to whatever question that you're inputting, right? So with us, there's a lot of strategic thinking that we're doing. We're having not just on a mathematical level, but more of an emotional intelligence as well, which if you look at all these AIs that are out there, again, it's just computing, it's math. That's all they're doing, right? But I'm looking at, hey, you know, they have grandchildren, they have children, they have all these other factors in place that, again, the AI is not really looking at it on a family-based level, right? So it's just all math when it comes to AI. For us at our firm, what we like to do is, again, we're not a cookie cutter process. We're not just trying to put everybody in the same situation. We're trying to put someone in a tailored situation when it comes to their lifestyle, right? So with AI, I can put the same thing pretty much for everybody else. AI is great. It helps us solve problems a lot faster, right? Which we use AI as well. We use AI to help build a lot of our strategic calculators that we use to show individuals what their planning could look like. What their retirement could look like. So at the end of the day, it can work for somebody, but it can also work against an individual.
I think also the other thing I always like to remind people is AI, the first word is artificial. It's not real. I mean, I think, what I've learned from you in this conversation so far is that personal appeal, that personal connection, building that authority with somebody to be able to build a relationship really at the end of the day. And, you'll be there tomorrow, God willing, to be able to steer them in the right direction. And that's, life happens obviously at times, but, at the end of the day, you'll be there for someone to call on for assistance if they need it. Right?
Absolutely. No, for sure.
So a lot of times, even for myself, Nico, we talk about leaving a legacy for our kids, our grandkids, things like that. But, you know, I don't always have that conversation with estate planning to think about that because I always like to avoid having that conversation. So what do you do to get me or people who want to leave that legacy for the families to really have that conversation finally?
Yeah, I go back to that same question. What does that look like today if yesterday was the day that you passed away, right? Who's going to make financial decisions if you can? It doesn't necessarily have to be an actual death, right? It can be just maybe someone is ill, and they're in the hospital on their deathbed. It can be something like that. Or maybe they're just, they got to an age where their mind is not all there. So who's going to make financial decisions if you can? Who's going to make healthcare decisions if you can? Who's going to manage these assets, right? So we ask if today was a decision day, who's in charge? That question typically brings reality and focus.
I know we've been talking a lot about if we're not here today, but there's also, I think there's one other thing that you also talk about with me in our conversation earlier is if something happens to us mentally, physically, and we're unable to care for ourselves, there's another aspects of life that we need to plan for. Can you help our listeners understand what's involved there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. That's long-term care, right? So, if we don't think about these things when we get to a certain age, who's going to be taking care of us, right? It's kind of like that Benjamin Button effect, right? You're going backwards in time. So it's like once we get to a certain age, there's got to be someone who's going to take care of our health. If we're not mentally there, who are you going to be put into a home? Are your children going to be the ones that are going to be the decision makers? And then most people that I see that don't have any of those decision makers for them. The state makes the decision for them. And most of those places are not the best places. And I don't say that in the sense of, putting, what's the word I would like to use? Bad mouthing them in any way. It's just, we want to be in a place where it's within something that we plan for and not just based on a simple state budget, if that makes sense.
So there's a form or a term for that besides the long-term care, right? Living will, or if you can't make that decision, it's a proxy type of document.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's giving someone the authority to basically sign on your behalf. Power of attorney is what typically the form is, right? So you're giving someone the power of attorney to make financial decisions and healthcare decisions. But also when it comes to long-term care, that's something that we typically will plan. So it's a type of insurance that we'll plan for just so when those days come, they have something in place to make sure that they're covered. Cause it does get pricey outside of just retirement, you know, being able to afford your expenses, whatever expenses you have and any debts that you may have. You know, healthcare is another topic that most people don't like to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, the other aspect of this is honestly, you know, a car accident or you fall down and say, you know, stairs, accidents happen. And these are also other things that happen every day. And you always read about it someplace where you hear about something. And if you're not, I'll say, properly protected, so to speak, it could be tough for you and your family, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Liability, right? At the end of the day, we just want to make sure that when you sit with us, those are the things that we're identifying, whether they're a business owner, whether just an individual just getting ready for retirement, they're planning for retirement, no matter what situation the individual's in, we always want to make sure that they're is again focusing on that income gap. And typically it's liability ties into that income gap.
Well, Nico, give our listeners three things that they can do over the next week or so to begin to get their retirement in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that the biggest thing right now is, not really listen to everything that's on the news, right? Have an understanding of what's going on in the world, but not really have that focus on, man, most people, because of what they hear, they avoid either putting money into a savings account, a bank, or some type of retirement account, or they're worried about their taxes or whatever the case may be. So if we just cancel out the noise and just focus on these three things, which I'm going to mention right now here shortly, then you would be in a good shape. One is to make sure that you're properly insured. So if you don't have an insurance plan, please make sure that you reach out to any individual who's licensed to be able to put an insurance plan in place. So it's a life insurance plan. The second thing that you want to do is you want to make sure that you have some type of income, some type of savings plan that is going to help reduce your debts and cover your expenses. And the last thing you want to do is to make sure that you have some type of retirement plan. So putting some money away, some savings, some type of nest egg, so to speak, that when you retire, that you have something that's going to be there for you and ready to be able to assist with covering any income gaps that you may have.
Life insurance plan, savings plan, and what was that third one?
A retirement plan. So basically enough to cover debts and expenses, right? Yep. And then another plan for their future, basically.
Awesome. Nico, I truly enjoyed our conversation today. Where can viewers find you and connect with you and Martillo Capital?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can find us on martillocapital.com or they can call us directly at 214-949-8655.
Nico, it's a pleasure always catching up with you. Great to see you again. Everyone, I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook, only on Now Media Television. It's great to have you. Till next week, everyone. Stay safe.